Man, we are so excited to see you guys today. So excited to jump into the Word of God. And we've been on our series of sowing and reaping that we just started actually last week. The law of sowing and reaping. And how many have planted anything in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Kathy was out planting potatoes yesterday. Yep. I dug up some raspberries and moved them to the new mile-long garden, we call it. And Alan decided to dig Jim and Kathy a little garden. A little hobby garden for Jim and Kathy. And 2 counties later. So she was out planting potatoes, and we've been talking about sowing and reaping. And we just a little review from last week. We talked about how our lives is just, we're just kind of inundated with things, right? And I found that, at least in my own life and kind of with the people that I talk to, we don't spend a lot of time like thinking through our life day to day, right? We're creatures of habit, and we're comfortable kind of just being in routines, right? Right? You get up, you kind of have the same kind of breakfast, and you go to work, and you come out, whatever you do, you know, whatever your routine is. And so we had this big list of things that, and like external demands on us, you know, you got to get your kids to soccer practice or whatever, or Boy Scouts, or, you know, got to go for the holidays to these people's place, or expectations, or sin and vices. You know, sometimes we get caught in the rut of sin that we, you know, dabbling with something we shouldn't, or something from our past that we haven't gotten complete freedom from yet, or just habits and routines, and we just kind of go through life on autopilot. And so this is kind of what we talked about last time, is just how dangerous that is to just go through life on autopilot. And living on autopilot is bad, we talked about last time. You see, we would like to think that my success in life or my failure in life is like these 20 or 30 or 50 really big decisions. You know, who I'm going to marry, where I go to school, you know, what job I get, and you know, whatever. And we've kind of got these, that's what really makes or breaks my life. And in fact, our life is filled with tiny little decisions. Every tiny thought, every word, every action, every attitude, every thought it's creating our future. Because that's the law of sowing and reaping. So number one, we learned last time, sowing and reaping is a law. Say a law. It's a law. It's irrefutable. It's undeniable. It's unbreakable. What you sow, you reap. And so we read this verse in Galatians. Don't be deceived. Like, guys, don't be tricked. Don't be tricked. Don't, if you're right, if Paul is writing to a group of people, to the Galatians actually, but the letters were circulated. If he's writing to the church of God and he's saying, don't be tricked, don't be deceived, don't be lied to. Don't you think that there's a good possibility that people could be tricked or deceived or lied to? Right? Like he didn't spend a lot of time, you know, talking about the evils of going to, I don't know, going to festivals in South America. You know, that wasn't something they were going to do. But they could be deceived. Don't be tricked. God can't be mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. And that's really, we like to think about sowing in a good sense. But Paul was saying, as well as in the bad sense, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And like, this is a law. You don't have to, we said last time, we talked about the law of gravity and I held the tambourine out. Sorry, Jim, I dropped your tambourine last week. Yeah, right. It was bad. I repent. So I said, you know what? It did bounce. You know, what if I really, 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 really don't want this to fall? What's going to happen when I let go? You're all like, it's going to fall. But what if I pray really hard, you know? It's still going to fall, you know, unless God's doing some amazing miracle. So we just kind of went through all of that. What if I go in the back room and you can't even see it? What happens when I let go? It's going to fall because it's a law. It's not really dependent on, you know, my emotional state or whether I believe it or not. It's just a law. It just works. So what I sow, I'm going to reap. It's going to come back to me, whether that's good things or whether that's bad things. So what are we talking about? Seed. We're talking about thoughts, actions, attitudes, words, reactions, choices, and the list goes on and on and on. But all these tiny little things that we don't give a lot of thought to. We don't give a lot of mental space to it because this is just my life. Well, I'll worry about the big decisions. But all this little stuff. Listen, guys, every seed we sow is producing something. Every eye roll. Ooh. Every bad, snotty attitude. Every little white lie. Every little thing that I thought I would get away with, because it's not that big a deal and no one sees, and it's not hurting anyone anyway. Seeds in the ground, seeds in the ground, seeds in the ground, seeds in the ground, seeds in the ground. A lot of your thorn bushes that you're struggling with today is a harvest from yesterday, and a year ago, and 2 years ago, and 3 years ago. Now there's a real devil, and you got a real flesh that's just a turkey sometimes, right? So there's some of that as well that you deal with. And I know not so much you guys, but other people really live in the flesh a lot, right? And you got to be around those people sometimes. So that's some of your problems, isn't it, in your life? But some of them, if we're going to be honest, and if the word of God is really true, some of it is seeds we've sown that is producing a bad harvest now. And you're like, God, why are you letting this happen? Well, why did you sow those seeds? Wait, this is my fault? Wait a minute. Is there someone else up there? So all these thoughts and actions, we ended with this verse last time. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Guys, think through all these little things that we're doing every day. Just take a step back. You know, what decisions, what attitudes, how is my thought life? What kind of words am I saying? Because all of those are little seeds that are being planted along the way, and those are actually shaping my life. One verse I was going to read last time we didn't get to, it's Leviticus 25, verse 17 through 19. Do not take advantage, this is written to Israel, do not take advantage of each other, but fear your God. I am the Lord your God. Follow my decrees and be what? Careful to obey my laws. And look at this, you will live safely in the land and the land will yield its fruit and you'll eat your fill and live there in safety. And what he's talking about is Israel, which we are grafted into. Watch your ways, watch how you're following the Lord. Follow carefully after God because there's a harvest from that. Fruitful harvest is a result of careful obedience, right? Because you're going to reap what you sow. So if you sow seeds of disobedience, if you sow seeds of rebellion, if we sow seeds of carelessness, if we sow seeds of negativity, if we sow seeds of wrongdoing, we're going to reap that harvest. We're going to reap that harvest. And so I just love that even right in the middle of it, it's talking about the land physically will yield its fruit, but that concept is there because, see, the kingdom of God and the natural mesh a lot of times. And God is just saying, there's fruitfulness happening when you give careful thought to how you obey. All right? Look at this kind of thought here. We think, incorrectly so, that there is normal life and God life. There's work life and then there's home life. There's church me. Oh, come on now. There's church me and there's regular me. We're not talking to anybody in the congregation today, are we? Okay, thank you, Jesus. There is personal decisions and there's family decisions and there's church decisions and there's work decisions. Listen, guys, they are all one and the same. They are all part of you and they are all seeds that you are sowing. You can sow seeds at home and reap it at work. You can sow seeds at work and reap it at church. You can sow seeds at church and reap it. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's one life. One heart, one set of seeds that we're sowing. We want to be careful how we're sowing. Look at this nest. We don't think about this a lot, but look at this. Decide on the future you'd like to have and then sow accordingly. What kind of future do you want to see for yourself? We don't think about that. We spend so much of our time putting out fires, so much of our time reacting, so much of our time just managing emotions, right? We spend so much of our time just kind of controlling the moment. We don't spend a lot of time thinking about what does a week from now look like? What does 2 days from now look like? What does a year from now look like? I can have an effect on that right now. This moment, this day, every footstep, every word, every thought, every action is affecting my next week. It's affecting my next month. It's affecting my next year. And I think we don't believe that. Guys, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. We're going to reap what we sow, good or bad. So if I can change my sowing, I can change my future. Thank you for that. That's right. That is true stuff. If I can change what and how I'm sowing, I can start to change my future tomorrow and next week and the next month and the next year. Sowing and reaping is law. So the second thing I want to see, this is what I didn't get to last time. I was really excited about this. Sowing empowers us. Huh? So if this is really true, if I had a handful of carrot seeds up here, how long could I carry that before my arm is weighed down? Well, like forever, because carrot seeds are, anyone ever seen carrot seeds? Yeah. You get like 4,000 of them and just, it's like a puffball. It's just nothing. They're just teeny. You're supposed to plant them 4 to 6 inches apart. Yeah, right. Can't even see them things. But if I plant 4,000 carrot seeds and every one of them grows in loose soil and it gets big like Stan's carrots do, right? And I harvest 4,000 carrots and put it in this room, I would be willing to bet that we'd take notice of that, wouldn't we? I mean, that would be, 4,000 carrots would be at least a bucket full. Right. Or 2 or 10. The harvest is so much larger. And so often in our lives, we're dealing with media, and we're dealing with friends, and we're dealing with disappointments, and we're dealing with the immediate, and we're dealing with the chaos in my mind and the chaos in my life, and it's so overwhelming, and I'm trying to put out fires, and I'm trying to just get through one day at a time, and I'm trying to manage things and not manage people because that pastor says that's bad. Oh, what do I do? Sowing empowers us because everyone is sowing, and you're sowing little things all the time. So imagine, now if I wanted to sow 4,000 corn seeds by hand, you know, those are bigger and heavier, right? I'd have to be carrying buckets. But imagine all these little carrot seeds. So if I just took them and I'm just sowing and I'm just changing. Let's say I've got a bucket of weed seeds and I've got a bucket of carrot seeds, because carrots is what we're talking about today. And I can choose to pick a weed seed or a carrot seed. Neither one of those doesn't take any more effort to reach from one bucket or the other. But every one of those is producing a harvest for me. So if I want a fruitful harvest, it's this concept of I just start changing little things. I just start changing little things. I can start changing little things, little seeds, little thoughts, little words, little actions, little decisions, little thought life, little emotions, little reactions. I start changing those little by little, and all of a sudden, life starts changing. Many tiny little seeds sown over a long time produce an incredible harvest. And that's true whether it's good or bad. So what if it's good? So instead of focusing on, oh, I need to change this, and oh, like these things are so overwhelming for us that we get paralyzed sometimes. And I don't know about you, how many times after doing your devotions or meeting with another believer who's just, you know, kind of got it together, and you just walk away and you're like, I've got so many things to fix. All right, where do we start? Right? And it can just get overwhelming. Or you look at the world, how broken the world is, and, you know the starfish story, we talk about that a lot of time. You know, the guys walking along chucking starfish because they wash up on the beach and then they suffocate. So this kid's walking along throwing starfish, and there's thousands of them as far as the eye can see. We were in Cape Cod, and there was seashells. I don't know what kind they were, but they were pink. We got pictures of them. And I bet in some spots, like knee deep, you know, and the rest were at least a couple inches. Just thousands of them, just as far as you could see down the beach. And we were scooping them up because we thought they were cool and whatever, and we maybe took a couple home, but after a while, it's not that exciting anymore. Well, just imagine if that was starfish, right? And they're all going to die. And so this little kid's throwing these starfish out, and finally someone comes along and says, there's thousands of them. You're not going to make any difference at all. The kid picked up another starfish, made a difference to that one, right? Got off on that story, but it's these little things that, like, starfish don't produce, well, they do produce more starfish, but that's not really what we're talking about. But this idea of, I can help a little bit, I can do a little bit, but now I'm tapping into, listen, guys, I'm tapping into a kingdom law. Guys, listen, we're tapping into a spiritual law. The law does the work. Hold on, guys. The law does the work. The spiritual law, the concept, the principle of sowing and reaping, that does the work. You do the little, little. I can do a little. I can do a little. I can do, let's say, I can do a little. I can do a little. I can do a little thought. I can do a little bit better word. Marnie and I have been working on shutting our mouth. There's times when we'll just be talking through something or we're frustrated about something. And this is a little thing. And it's proven to be a little, it's bigger than we think it is, because it's definitely harder than we thought it would be. And I was just really convicted. I was just really challenged. I was frustrated about something. And right? Marnie's my wife. We minister together. And so we're just talking through things. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's just like this and this happens. And finally, I'm like, I moved from analytical to cursing. I'm like, when I'm speaking over this situation, I keep seeing it happen. Hey, Snaza, shut your mouth, right? So we kind of made an agreement together. We're gonna do better. And so a lot of times it's just a little thing. It's just a little bit. It's just a little. It's just Marnie. We were laying in bed talking about something the other night, and Marnie went. Hup. She laid back down. You know, it's kind of dark. It was dark. I'm like, oh, Dave, I can't see. So I'm like, what's going on over there? And she said, nothing. Like, what? She's like, I'm just not saying something. I'm like, awesome. And it's one little thing. It's one little change. It's one little seed. One little seed that's not going to be a weed seed growing up for a nasty harvest. One little thing. It's one little thing. It's one little seed. Guess what? The law is doing the work. The principle of sowing and reaping is doing the work. That's what's creating the harvest. So this is an empowering thing that I can do that. Well, I can do that. How many could have one good thought on purpose today? I can do that. How many could say one kind thing on purpose today? See, I don't know if we're on the same page or not, because we're talking about one little thing and you guys are still like, I don't think I can do that, Pastor. I don't have any littler things than that. How do I, can you pat your neighbor on the shoulder and say you're nice? I don't know what, just one little thing, one little seed after one little seed. After one little seed, after one little seed, after one little seed begins to produce this 30, 60, 100-fold harvest that's going to start coming back in our lives. And see, I know you guys are like, well, I don't know if I can do that. You're doing it. You're just usually doing seeds of the flesh. You're usually just doing little weed seeds. But that doesn't really hurt anybody. See, exactly. Like, Jesse got so blown away by that, he dropped his coffee. It's like, whoa. Whoa, I am doing that every day, aren't I? I am so sorry, Libby. Please forgive me. We're already doing it. You're already, every little mumble, every little grumble, every little eye roll, every little attitude, every little thing that is just innocent and is not really hurting anything, every little word that I speak about something, every little action that I take that it's not really that big a deal. It is. One little seed after one little seed after one little seed after one little seed is making this huge harvest. All right, so first couple things. Let's look at the third thing. This is exciting to me, and I really hope that this excites us today, because there's some good stuff here. Reaping comes in a different season than sowing. Kathy was planting potatoes yesterday at my place while I was working on trim on her house. And I went out and I took a picture, and it was hot. And I thought, this is great growing weather. And it was about 4:30 when you were out there. At 9 o'clock last night, there was not one stupid potato in that place. Not one. Not one. Zero. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good ground, right? Oh, you got good potatoes, right? Nothing. Nada. Zip. I had to have instant potatoes last night. I mean, not that I would take your potatoes or anything, but, you know, maybe. Now, why is that silly? It's silly because we know the law. We know the law for potatoes, and we forget about the law for our spiritual lives. Come on. We know the law. We're going to go, you know, our garden is dug up. We're getting some tomato plants. I think the girls are doing a nursery trip today or something. Who knows? It's going to be a painful expensive trip. We're going to spend $819 so I can get six fresh potatoes out of my garden. 83 cents worth. But it's fun, right? It's all for the glory of God, right? See, that's bad seeds right there. Don't be talking like that, Pastor. And so, wow. So we're going to be, all of us that have gardens or put plants in or whatever, we know that it's not coming up tomorrow. We know that there's seasons to these things. We know that the planting season is different than the harvesting season. We know that. It's silly to think anything other than that. Of course it is. And yet, spiritually, we get overwhelmed. And so there's this lull, we call it. There's this quiet time. You know, can I pick on Alan? Where is he at today? Oh, he's back there. Right? And you know, you work hard for a day and a half in the spring, and you work hard for a day and a half in the fall, and then, you know, then you're done the rest of the time. There's this lull in between. But in the in-between, be careful what happens in our hearts. Be careful what happens in our thought life. Be careful what happens. Because in the in-between, what happens between the sowing and the reaping is critical. Battles can be won or lost. You've done so good. You've switched. You figured out, okay, I got to stop sowing. This bucket's all weed seeds. I got to stop picking out of this bucket. Negative thoughts, negative decisions, harmful things that are so tiny, but they won't hurt anybody. I got to stop sowing that, and I got to start sowing carrots and potatoes, whatever. Like you went through all that work. You made good choices. Good job, guys. Like you got them in the ground. They're doing good. But now just hang on. Don't get frustrated. Don't stop. Because if I get frustrated and walk away from the garden, which has happened before, right? What else grows up? Weeds. And what happens, maybe come December, if I haven't went back to my garden? All that produce is in there. What happened to it now? Well, except for you guys are like, you should pick it after the frost. You know that you people are like, it's probably just ready. I mean, let's say like till the next spring then. It rots. That's what I'm trying to get at. Like it just goes to waste. It falls off the plant. It just, yep. Either the weeds choke it out or it falls off and rots, or it rots in the ground. It goes to waste. I don't get the harvest that I worked so hard for because I didn't do what I needed to do in that in-between phase. Was the harvest working? Absolutely. It's a law. Don't be mocked. Don't be mocked. Don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. The harvest is going to be there. And yet for me to experience the harvest, hold on now. It's a different thing for the harvest to produce and for me to experience the harvest. Those are two different things. One happens as a result of the law of God. Another one happens because of my obedience and diligence in watching things. So I've got to be careful not to get discouraged in the lull. So the lull, it does a couple things. It causes us to believe that we're getting away with our bad decisions, and it can lead to discouragement that our good seeds don't matter. You see, we'll be nasty to somebody, and then we'll kind of be like, then we go do the whole justifying thing. Well, I wasn't as mean as some people were, and they really kind of deserved it anyways, and whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And you're just sowing these bad seeds, sowing these bad thoughts, sowing these bad actions and bad habits, but then nothing happens. You kind of feel bad about it for a little bit. Maybe you said something you shouldn't have said, or you reacted, or whatever. And you get up the next day and you're like, yeah, that was kind of bad, but I don't feel so bad today. And you get up the next day and you're like, I didn't even think about that the whole rest of yesterday. And that's all kind of in the past. And then the next day you just kind of go on with your life. Nothing happens. Guess what's happening in the ground though? Come on. Guess what's happening in the ground? Don't be deceived. Guess what's happening? In that lull, we can think that our bad seeds don't really matter. You know what? I got away with that. I mean, I didn't even get away with it. What I mean is, I'm not that bad. I mean, don't talk to me. That's what I mean. That's what we're doing in our heart. And then we walk away from that, and pretty soon we forget about it because it's not instantaneous. It's a different season. And all of a sudden, a different season of our life, we're walking through all, getting hit by thorns and weeds. And like, whoa, what happened? All of a sudden, the devil's really attacking me, right? Maybe, just maybe, I'm not saying for sure, but maybe, just maybe some of that, your seeds are just, they're not little teeny, they're just all grown up now. Just big buggers, just ready to do what they do. Weeds all in your life. And the same with our good seeds. We do good. We make a good choice. I'm like, man, anyone ever just, you sowed good seeds, good thoughts, you did good actions, you had a good reaction, and crickets. Nothing. Nothing good happened out of it. Man, I just thought I heard God, and I did this good thing, and nothing. That's discouraging. Oh, my life doesn't look any different. Monday doesn't look any different than Sunday or Tuesday or like, it just goes on like it was. Hold on, guys. It's the lull. It's germinating. It's growing. It's coming out of the ground. It's poking through. It's getting ready to grow up into a big plant. And you're going to see a harvest from that. Just because you don't see anything happening doesn't mean that it isn't. Wouldn't it be silly if Alan got up every morning and I heard him run by my house, because Alan's a good jogger, right? Runs out to the field, looks, runs back and gets in his car and squeals the tires and heads off home and calls his wife and it's all angry. And next day, same thing happens. Comes out, looks at the field. He's all mad because nothing's happening. Well, that's just silly to us. And yet spiritually, we do it all the... Wait a minute. Now get that picture of Alan in your head. That's you. We do that. But God, I've sowed here and I've done this. And I made this right choice. And why has this happened to me? Hold on. It's growing. Don't get discouraged. Hang in there. Just wait. There's another season coming. Mark 4, 26 through 29 says this. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up." It's just a law. It just works. The seed sprouts and it grows, though he doesn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk. Look at the process here. First the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel in the head, as soon as the grain is ripe, look at now. Now who gets involved? He does. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. But in that in-between, it's growing and I can't see nothing, right? I can't see this harvest yet. And here's the hard part. Sowing requires us to take the long view. We are so instant, right? I mean, we've got a harvest plan of about 93 seconds, right? I did something good, and I'm just waiting. Okay, should be growing by now, right? Rapid returns. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Bless my crops. Yes, God. And it doesn't work like that. We've got to, if we want a great tomorrow, if we want a kingdom future, we've got to sow the right seed today because it takes a while. It takes a while for things to grow. It takes a while for things to germinate. Take the long view. Look at this verse, James 5, 7 and 8. "So be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." See, now here we get our analogy here. See how the farmer, what does he do? He waits for the precious fruit of the earth. He's patient until the ground receives the early and the late rains. So you also be, what? Patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So be patient. Take the long view. Realize that this isn't happening tomorrow. The right thing at the right time for the right reason is going to produce the right result, but it doesn't happen when you think it should. It doesn't mean that the law is not working. Nudge your neighbor, say it's working. It's working. It's working. Now let's look at this same verse again, but let's look at a little different part of it. He's patient until the ground receives the early and the late rains. Because we don't just need soil, and we don't just need sun, and we don't just need seed. We need water. Guys, water your seed. While we're waiting, we don't want to cancel out our seed by sowing a bunch of weeds where it is, right? And we want to nurture it. We want to water it with faith, with faithfulness, with declaring great things over our life, and just really expecting and believing, like keeping our heart in the right place, keeping full of faith that, man, I'm doing the right things. I'm living my life according to the Word of God. I'm sowing the right kind of seeds. I'm guarding my mind. I'm watching my footsteps. I'm giving careful thought to my ways. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be patient. And that just watering those seeds. Because if we're diligent to water them, listen, if you don't water them, God wants you to have a harvest. And so if we don't water them, the only other time that they're going to get water is in a storm. So sometimes we go through these storms, and all of a sudden you'll see, you guys ever notice anybody, or maybe your own life, like all of a sudden you grow after you go through a storm, like, oh, that was tough, and you really had to dig in, right? Dig into the Word of God, and you really put your roots down. That's because those seeds are getting watered in your life. Now they're growing. But we can do that when we're not in a storm. How cool to have a harvest when there's not storms in our life. How many of you are content with growth being from storm to storm? No. Say no. No. The right answer is no. No is the answer that you want to say to that. Not just in the storms. I want to grow all the rest of the time. So I've got to plant the good seed, but then I've got to tend that seed. I've got to watch it for weeds, and I've also got to water that thing with faith and the Word of God, right? All right. Here's this next part. I love this. So be patient, whatever. He's patient until the ground receives the early. So you be patient. Look at this. Establish your hearts. Establish your hearts. I read that and I about screamed. I was so excited. I'm like, God, that's it. We've got in the middle in this waiting. When I want to get discouraged, when I want to say there's no harvest, when I want to say, God, why are you letting this happen? When I want to say, God, I didn't put that in the ground. I got to establish my heart. I got to keep my heart in the right place, keep watering, keep pulling weeds. Establish your heart. This is in Charleston, South Carolina, when we went on a family trip a couple years ago. And it is First Baptist Church, and I don't know anything about it other than I know that it was asked in 1682. That's what the sign says. It's asked 1682. Do you guys know what est means? Established. That church was established in 1682, and because it's a snazza trip, there wouldn't be I just scanned through my photographs. I'm like, huh. Well, good thing we got one church in there. The other one I got is from Providence, Rhode Island, Olneyville, New York system, established 1946. This is hot dogs, and it is phenomenal. All of the TV Food Network guys have been there, and it's worth it. And that's where we had coffee milk for the first time. So in Rhode Island, coffee milk is a big thing. Imagine coffee-flavored syrup in milk, and it's better than you think it sounds. It's really kind of cool. So that's established 1946. And then, of course, this wouldn't be complete without a Chicago reference. Gino's East Pizza. This was one of our trips to Chicago, and it was est in 1966. So what does it mean when something is established? When something is established, it moves from an idea or a conversation to actions shaped and connected to values. Okay, so Luigi and Franco are sitting around. They're like, "Hey, wouldn't it be nice if we could make us some pizzas?" Right? Like they got this idea. You know, Gino and his brother, whoever. It's an idea. It's birthed as a thought, as a conversation. Is it established yet? No. It's just two guys that have too much free time on their hands talking about pizza. But when it becomes coagulated into action that's connected to values. Now, I don't know what Gino's East, what their values are, but maybe it's to make the most authentic pizza in Chicago or to give the customers some kind of, like they have writing on all of their walls, every single wall, floor to ceiling, every booth. I don't know, give them pizza and someone to write. I don't know, like whatever their values are. They coagulated that, and they decided to put action to it. Well, we need a building. What else do we need? We need some money, okay? Right? And now their actions are going to match their values, Now it becomes established. Now we're going to get our tax ID number and whatever else we need to do. We're going to get some employees. We're established. That's when we start. It didn't start with the idea, the establishment. I mean, it started with the idea, but then the established moves beyond the idea stage. It moves beyond the idea stage. You guys ever heard of the Gideons? Gideons International. They are going to be here very shortly, guys. I don't know what the date is because we don't have one picked yet, but sometime in the next 4 to 6 weeks, the Gideons are going to be here. And my prayer is that they leave with an embarrassing amount of money. My prayer is that they leave and they like have to hire someone else to buy Bibles for them, right? They're going to be here and we are going to bless them. So right now, this is just a little plug. Just skip a Starbucks, skip Taco Tuesday night, set some money aside just right now. They might be a week, it might be 10 weeks. I don't know when they're coming, but soon. And let's just start building anticipation for how we can bless the Gideons because they hand out Bibles. So anyways, the Gideons, this is right off their page, established in 1899. Okay, so this kind of says a little bit about them. It's an association of Christian business and professional men and their wives dedicated to telling people about Jesus. I know you can't read that probably from back there, but this is right off of their page. They were established in 1899, but something happened before that. This is also right off their page. Started. I put the red square on there in the blue box or whatever, but it started with an idea. Started with an idea. These two guys got ended up being in the same hotel room together because the hotel was full. And so they did their devotions together that night. And they started talking about, whoa, wouldn't it be cool if we had a group of us that could do this, you know, kind of minister to other traveling businessmen and spread the gospel. And so then the first meeting is called on May 31st, 1899. The two men met in Wisconsin. They decided that the purpose of their association would be to band Christian commercial travelers together for mutual recognition, for personal evangelism, and for united service for the Lord. Okay? All of a sudden, they became established because they've got some values and some action. All right, boys, this is what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. Here's why we're going to do it. And they got established. Well, guess what? More than 2 billion Bibles have been given out. Two guys that got shoved into a hotel room together one night on accident, and 100 years later, 2 billion Bibles. More than 2 copies of God's Word are distributed every second, and over 1 million Bibles are distributed every 4 days. Right? By Thursday, there'll be another 1 million Bibles handed out. Right? And by the next Monday, there's another 1 million Bibles handed out. Another 1 million Bibles in the hands of people that would not have them otherwise or need to be in opportune moments. So what does that have to do with us? Establish your hearts. As you wait, establish your heart. See, the Gideons, they took an idea and they established it. And here's what we do. We take an idea that God is good or he's, you know, sowing and reaping works or whatever. And then all of a sudden we get in that lull in between, the season between planting and reaping. We get in that middle ground and we get weak-kneed. We get sad. We get despondent. We get casual. And James is saying, establish your hearts. Root it in there. Establish it. Let me go through some things here. See if this is maybe reflective of you at all. We're just about done. But what if I sow forgiveness and then right after that I get wronged again? Anyone ever been married? I mean that's what I do to Marnie. Right. You see, there's a lull there. So what if I start seeing something contrary to what I just sowed? What if I really and truly forgive someone and then I just get wrong, thrown back in my face again? What if I sow friendship? Man, I'm just going to be a great friend and I make the decision and I get stabbed in the back again. What if I'm got full of faith and I'm sowing finances and then my car breaks down? Really? But God, you're holding up my $1 bill here. Like I'm giving that to the church. What if I sow faith? And then I get a phone call or an email that creates all this fear inside me. It's the lull in between. What if I sow good work ethics and I don't get the raise or my coworker gets the promotion? But I was here early. I did a good job. I've got some options here. I can start pouting. I can start sowing weed seeds. That's the time when the weed seeds come out. Oh, yeah? Well, see, I knew this was dumb, and I'm not going to work hard anymore, and I knew I shouldn't be there, dumb friends anyways. And we just start dumping weed seeds in the ground. And does that make things better? Right answer is no. What if I sow prayers, and I don't see an answer? What if I sow good thoughts, but I still have chaos in my mind? But I'm changing the way I think, and I have good thoughts, but then I can't shake it. There's this lull where what we're sowing is germinating, it's growing, it's a stalk, it's a head, and now it's producing grain. Don't give up before the grain shows up. Don't give up before the grain shows up. Don't give up before the grain shows up. Right? Don't walk away from the garden. Establish your hearts. So when we establish our hearts, we lay a foundation. And as we wait, we lay the foundation stones of God is good. God is faithful. God is steadfast. God is trustworthy. He is for me. And I sow that seed of friendship. And I get rejected again. And I want to sit and pout. And I want to talk about how God's not for me. And I say, no, I'm going to establish my heart. God is good. And you start putting down bricks and you start laying foundations. And man, you give to the poor and you give to your church and all of a sudden, you know, tractor breaks down. Stupid tractor. No. God is faithful. He's my provider. I'm wrecking my retirement fund. You put those stones down. You put that foundation down. Establish your heart. God, I know that you're faithful. Lord, I know that your word says that you will not leave me or forsake me. I'm not left as an orphan. And you establish it. You build that foundation. I will not be moved. I don't see anything right now, but I know that I sowed. I don't see anything happening, but I know that I sowed. I don't know how it works, but God, you know, and I'm not going to be deceived. You're not going to be mocked. I'm going to see a harvest. I'm going to water that seed with the word of God, and I'm going to keep my heart in the right position and not get distracted and not get discontent. Last verse, and we're done. Promise. This is what we started with. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. We're going to skip a verse. And it says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, keep doing good. Keep sowing seeds. Establish your heart. God, you got this. God, you got this. Your word, it's a firm foundation. I believe you over what I see. God, I'm setting my heart in the right place, and I'm going to keep sowing good seeds. Every little bit, every little bit, every little seed. Good seed, not weed seed. Good seed, not weed seed. Good seed, not weed seed. Good thoughts, good actions. I don't see nothing. Hey, you sure that stuff works? I don't know. God figures it out. He's faithful. Lay that foundation. Set your heart in the right place. Amen? Amen. Lord, I bless this people with a great harvest today. Help us to sow great seeds every day, every single day, morning, noon, and night. God, help us to sow seeds of life and not death. Lord, I bless them today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Greet somebody and you are dismissed.